I'd like to welcome you here to our show this afternoon on behalf of our sponsor. You know, we're one of the few remaining radio shows that's lucky enough to have a sponsor. So if you enjoy yourself during the next half hour, you could do us all a big favor, if you would. And that is, sometime this week, stop by your neighborhood RCA Victor dealer and pick up a 27-inch television set or a record player or something. Because we'd like to be working up here next year at the same time. Incidentally, this is the start of our third year for RCA. And, of course, as you folks know, now Phil is out on his own. And one more thing I'd like to tell you. This year, we're changing our time. It's going to be a big lineup on Friday night. Bob Hope, followed by our show. So remember, when you hear the show, to tune in Friday night for Hope and Harris. So let's get Phil off to a big start on his new time. Back with Bob Hope. So let's give a big welcome to Mr. Phil Harris.
Thank you, and you're right. No, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you what it means to me to have me come out here all by myself. You're all applauding, and you've got those smiles on your faces. And I just want to tell you I love you for it because I need it. I've been with Jack Benny for 16 years, and there ain't no money connected with that job. The only thing you can do to help me earn an honest living, the time is now. I'm also a bad start. When I married Alice, they told me she had money, but I'll be damned if I can find it. Everywhere. We do have a good show for you, and I'm very happy with the script. I'm very happy that we have such a lovely crowd here. And I want to introduce some of the people, but first, I'm very happy to see servicemen in the audience. And I want you guys to know that you're always welcome to my show, and especially you sailors, because during the last war, I was in the Navy myself. I fought the Battle of Catalina. You all ate lobster pots in the Navy of selecting their enlisted men when I went in the Navy according to what they'd done in private life. For instance, I went in with a couple of buddies of mine. One of them was a street cleaner, and they put him on a minesweeper. And another guy was a construction guy. He tore down buildings and everything, and they put him on a destroyer. How I ever wound up on a ferry boat, I'll tell you. The barber shop said, how many head of it? The barber says, three. The guy went out, he don't come back. Comes in the next day, says the barber, how many head of it? The barber says, three. The guy goes out again, don't come back. Now the barber's going crazy. He don't know what to do. So he said to bootleg, he says, look, every day a guy comes in, walks around, how many head? I tell him, he goes out, he don't come back. If he does it tomorrow, follow him. I want to know. Next day the guy came in, the barber says, how many head of it? The barber says, three. The guy went out, the bootleg followed him, came back in about 20 minutes. The barber says, where'd he go? Where'd he go? The bootleg says, to your house. Put the part from here over to here. And he'd give him bangs in front and bangs in the back. But he said it got awfully monotonous because people kept coming up whispering in his nose. He got a drunk, the blind drunk, fell out of the 12-story building, fell down, boom, he hit. There's a big crowd around. He's up, brushed himself off. The fellow walks up and says, what happened? He says, damn fine, oh, I just got here. Oh, no. Say hello to Bill Foreman, ladies and gentlemen. Like me, he's seen himself on television. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that whatever little success we've attained, it's not due to any one or two people, it's our organization. And we're very fortunate in having a very competent organization. For instance, every one that you see sitting up on that stand does an outstanding job on his or her particular instrument. He does things that I know that you don't. You take the leader. He's all right. We're very happy about him in as much as we think that he's one of our up-and-coming geniuses as far as the music business is concerned, and I'm not kidding. Now I'm on the level. Already, he's had two things already played in the Hollywood Bowl. He's been nominated six times for the Academy Award. Last year, he was nominated again, and just like the few votes of winning it for all of the beautiful ranging and directing of the music that you heard in that wonderful picture, The Hans Christian Andersen Story. Ladies and gentlemen, Walter Scott. Handwork with me.
Pete whose fault it is, because without her, I don't think the program would be possible. I don't want to go into a big eulogy. I just want to tell you that she's not only the most beautiful girl in the world, but this kid's got talent, too.
Alice Faye! Alice Faye!
Here it comes. A couple of the little girls that play the part of Alice and Phyllis, and they, too, are two of the outstanding little actresses in our business. They've been with us ever since we started. We've watched them grow up. They're wonderful and just as clever as the Dickens. Janine Roos and Ann Whitfield. Come on. They don't come too young for me. Honey, you know you got all of me. Here's a new fellow to our organization. We're very happy with him. The only thing I'm worried about is a little too handsome. That's the only thing. And young. But he's a marvelous actor, and I know you've seen a lot of his pictures lately on television. He's our new William. Plays the part of Alice's brother. A wonderful performer and a wonderful guy. John Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the little kid that steals our show every week, and we're very happy about it because we not only love him, but he is just chock full of talent. Plays the part of Julius Fabruzio, the grocery boy, Walter Tetler. Come on, Walter. Of course, the program wouldn't be complete without those four guys, and any time you see them billed around the country, I want you to go see them. Take my word for it, it's the greatest act you've ever seen. Jackson's had them for many years on his cute commercials. We've had them ever since we started. We love them. The four sportsmen, ladies and gentlemen. And now, the one and only, Elliot Lewis. Come on. That's our cast, ladies and gentlemen. All I ask you to do this, our opening show, please laugh. If you laugh, laugh loud. Or if you cry, cry loud. Everything you do, do it loud, will you, please?
I want to get in here again.
Thank you, and have a good time.
King Arthur had his shining knights. Cleopatra had her day. But you, you lucky people, you, you've got Harris and RCA.
RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, presents the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. For your enjoyment, here is the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, transcribed, written by Ed James and Phil Shukin, with Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, John Hubbard, Janine Roos, Ann Whitfield, Walter Sharp in his music, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. Tonight's little epic is entitled The Courtship of Elliot Lewis, or A Drummer Gets Stuck with Any Old Girl, But a Guitarist Can Take His Pick. And now the stars of the RCA Victor program, Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Vacations, like everything else, must come to an end. Once again, it's breakfast time in the Harris household, and we find the Harrises, Alice and Phil, in vastly different moods. Alice is grumbling over a red-hot stove, but Phil is smiling and gay as he trips lightly down the stairs. A smile on his lips and a song in his boyish heart. Boyish.
Pretend you're normal when you ain't. So for my bands had no complaints. Just call for Harris if you're all alone and find you on some cocktails for two. I'm running all the way. Oh, la-dee-dee. Oh,
hi, Alice, honey.
Hi.
Boy, that was some vacation we had, wasn't it?
Vacation? I spent 3 months as a combination bellhop and bottle opener for you and that Elliot Lewis. Some vacation.
Oh, now, wait a minute, honey. It wasn't that bad. I remember one day we didn't see Elliot for almost a whole hour.
Sure, but we had to hide in a cave.
Look, just forget about Elliot, honey. Don't worry about him. Hey, what do you got for breakfast?
Well, you have your choice between 3-minute eggshells and some southern fried coffee grounds.
Gosh, that sounds... Fried coffee grounds?
That's all that's left, Clyde. Elliot got here first.
You mean he was here for breakfast?
His breakfast and everybody else's.
Well, where's the lovable locust now?
In the fruit bowl, diving for pears.
Well, where's the paper, honey?
Elliot ate it.
Now, wait a minute, Alice. That's silly. He might have ate the sport page, but not the whole paper.
Oh, this is getting serious, Phil. We've got to get rid of him.
Look, Alice, I can't throw Elliot out into the street like an old arrangement of tiger rag. He's my pal, and as long as I got a home, he's welcome. Nobody's going to throw him out.
All right. Then you pay for the food he eats.
You mean out of my allowance?
Out of your allowance.
That deadbeat's got to go. Why don't he dig up his own meal ticket like I did?
Honey, that's it. Let's find a wife for Elliot.
Oh, wife, honey. How crazy can you get? Who's going to stand for a guy with baggy pants and a wrinkled shirt and a 3-day growth of beard and a... Hey, you know, he'd make a good husband.
That's what I said.
And it'll be good for Elliot's pride. He won't have to mooch off of no strangers. He can have a house of his own he can mooch in. And besides... Nah, it ain't gonna work.
Why not? Honey, we can show him how much he's missing. We'll show him how happy we are with one another, with our children, and our home. Darling, we'll show him the true meaning of love and contentment.
Alice.
Yes, Phil.
Will you marry me?
I've got a license to prove I did. Now, look, you go to work on Elliot and sell him a bill of goods.
Okay, baby, I'll call him.
No, you don't have to. I'll just light the stove.
Hi, Alice, what's cooking?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Oh, hi, Curly. You got up, huh?
No, but I ought to be up any minute now.
Why don't you and Elliot have a nice talk while I fix some more breakfast, huh?
Yeah, honey, we'll do that. Come on, Elliot, sit down. We'll have a nice talk, okay?
Okay. What do you want to have a nice talk about, Curly?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought that...
What about girls? That's a nice thing to talk about.
Well, I...
Go ahead. You start.
All right. Ain't that Alice a living doll? Don't she look pretty bending over that stove?
Yeah. What a stove.
Hey, Elliot, wouldn't you like to have somebody cooking breakfast for you every morning?
I got somebody.
You have?
Sure. Alice.
I mean somebody else, you dope.
What are you trying to do, Curly? Get rid of Alice?
Of course not.
Then what's the pitch?
Look, Elliot, I'm trying to tell you, marriage is a wonderful thing. Now, if a fella's going to get married, I say the only thing to get married to is a wife.
You've got something there, Curly. I don't know what you got, but you got something.
Elliot, let's sit down.
We're sitting down.
Well, let's stand up.
What for? I'm comfortable this way. Keep talking, Curly. You intrigue me.
Look, Elliot, living the kind of life you do is no good.
It ain't?
No, it's awful. Now, what do you do every day? You get up anytime you feel like it. You go to bed anytime you feel like it. If you want to go out with a babe, you go. You got no worries, no responsibilities, no...
What's the matter, Curly?
How'd you ever get into a mess like that?
Just lucky, I guess.
Look, Elliot, now what can you do in a pool room that you can't do right here in this house?
Shoot some pool?
Don't care if I do. Why don't we pick up a couple of guys? Wait! Now, where was I? What was I saying?
I ought to get married.
Oh, yeah. Look, just think of it, Elliot. A little house all your own. Your own fireplace. Your own television set.
with a built-in bar. And then you come home at night and there's somebody waiting for you. Arms outstretched, lips outstretched.
What am I marrying? Are you Bangy?
Elliot, will you please shut up?
I'm sorry, girl. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, don't forget, Elliot, you and your wife won't always be two. Because soon, you'll be three. Or maybe four. And one day, there'll be the patter of little feet.
No bodies, huh?
That's right, no bodies, just feet.
I was only asking you.
I'm only telling you.
Well, you don't have to get mad.
I ain't mad. Sparks always come out of my ears like this.
Okay. Go ahead with the feet bit.
I'm trying to tell you, Elliot, you'll hear the patter of little feet. You'll come down to breakfast in your own little kitchen with your own little wife and with her own little hair wrapped up in her own little curlers and her own little face covered with it. Maybe we better skip that part.
Before, it sounds fascinating.
But, Elliot, it's a whole brand new kind of life. Don't you realize it's peaceful and calm and quiet? You sit down every morning with the sun shining in the window and the birds singing in the trees and your wonderful family gathered all around you. There's a feeling of peace and contentment. Everything's quiet and calm.
Hiya, Mom, Pop. Hi, Uncle Elliot.
Good morning, Angel.
I can't stop now. I'm late for school.
But Alice,
I... Pop has something in the lunchroom. Go on, everybody. See you later. And away we go.
Where was I?
Quiet and calm.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, Elliot, everything's peaceful and calm. And you get a feeling like you've never had before.
Hey, everybody, look out for the Bruins grab.
Oh, sit down, sir.
I'm coming through. Can't be late for football practice.
Football practice?
She's playing football?
Daddy, I'm the coach.
Well, Phyllis,
I'll eat at the training table, Mom. Goodbye, everybody.
Who was that, the kid from left field?
Alice, it's like I said at the beginning. This thing is hopeless.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, good morning, Willie.
Well, if it isn't Mrs. Fay's revenge.
Good morning, Elliot and Philip. Wonderful day, isn't it?
I liked it. Until you came pussyfooting in.
Oh, Phil.
Well, why can't he just fall down the stairs like Alice and Phyllis and everybody else? Sneaks up in back of you like Indian underwear.
Philip, I know exactly how you feel toward me. And even though I warned Alice before your marriage as to your low character and limited mentality, I must say, in all fairness, that my opinion of you has never changed.
Well, at least... Wait a minute. Now, give me that whole thing again from the beginning.
Now, never mind, Phil. William has to have his breakfast.
No, breakfast today, Pet. Just sign these checks, and I'll get along to the office.
Why does she have to sign the checks before breakfast?
Well, there are just a few for the gas and the phone and your allowance.
Go ahead, honey. You better sign them checks. He's the beginning.
Give me a pen.
Hey, Curly, you mean Alice signs the check for your allowance?
Yeah. I don't mind, except when Willie takes them off her income tax as a bad debt. That burns me up.
Alice pays the bills and gives you an allowance, too, huh?
The only reason we use Alice's money is to air out the vault. Keeps the big bills from mildewing.
An allowance? What do you know?
Oh, that's fine, Alice. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Willie.
A real live allowance.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, dear.
Hey, wait a second, Elliot. Listen to this.
I didn't hear nothing.
That's what I mean. He goes out like that every time, the fink.
Hey, you know, Curly, I've been thinking about what you said, you know, about peace and quiet and the rest of that stuff. I sure been missing a lot, ain't I?
Why, Elliot?
A home and a fireplace and kids running around the house like a picket fence. Sounds pretty good.
See what I told you, Alice? I told you I'd sell him. Okay, Elliot, now all we got to do is to dig you up a wife. What do you got in mind?
Well, She ought to be a girl.
I'm with you 100%. A girl. Any particular kind?
I see a girl, Curly. You know what I mean? A real feminine type of girl with a checkbook.
That's all, huh?
I got a pen.
Oh, Phil, this is ridiculous.
Anybody home? I'm from the grocery.
You can't just marry a checkbook.
Why not? Curly did.
I didn't either. And you quit saying stuff like that, or so help me, I'm going to slug you.
Phil.
I'll testify against him, Miss Faye. I seen the whole thing. He hit you with every punch in the book. Then he hit you with the book.
I didn't do no such thing.
You pleaded and pleaded, but he only laughed.
Yeah.
And threw your quivering young buddy into the cedar closet.
Cut it out now, will you?
Therefore, gentlemen of the jury,
I'm being framed. I tell you, I want a lawyer.
Oh, Phil, stop it. And you too, Julius.
Gee, Miss Fay, I was only trying to protect
you. What are you doing here so early anyway? You ain't supposed to deliver them groceries for another hour.
Oh, I'm taking the afternoon off. Me, Rich Aunt is coming to town. And boy, is she loaded.
Curly, I'm way ahead of you. Hey, Julius, buddy.
Keep away from me, I'm warning you.
Now, wait a minute, Julius. Now, when you say your aunt is loaded, are you referring to her financial or liquid condition?
Look, she owns a brewery.
A brewery and money?
Bingo!
Hey, Ellie. Man, this is the greatest parlay of all time.
The patter of little feet running through the mash barrel. Checkbooks floating in bourbon.
Annuities over the rocks.
What are Jekyll and Hyde talking about, Miss Faye?
Nothing, Julius. Say, how would you and your aunt like to have dinner with us tonight, huh?
Miss Faye? You mean you'd invite poor little insignificant me to dinner?
And bring the brewery.
Huh?
I mean your aunt.
I'll be sitting at the same table with lovely, adorable Miss Faye.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be drinking soup that her precious lips puckered to cool off.
Yeah, Julius.
I'll be eating a flounder she filleted with her own little hands.
Julius.
I'll be eating a souffle she souffled just for me.
Down, Rob. Get down now.
What have I done to deserve this? What have I done?
Well, that takes care of that. She'll be here for dinner, Elliot.
Yeah, but what are we doing till dinner?
That's easy. We'll play an RCA Victor record.
You mean until tonight?
Look, Elliot, when RCA Victor makes a 45 extended play record, they don't fool around. They really extend it. It extends from breakfast clear through to dinner. I'll show you. Put it on, honey.
All right. Here goes.
Bye, bye, babe, bye, bye. Sorry, we must fly.
Bye, bye, baby. Remember, you're my baby. When they give you the eye, and just to show that I care, I will write and declare that I'm on the loose, but I'll stay on the square. I'll be lonely, but even though I'm lonely, there'll be no other guy. Though I'll be gone for a while, I know that I'll be smiling with my baby by and by.
Bye-bye, my little baby. Bye-bye, bye-bye. Bye-bye, baby. Remember, you're my baby when they give you the eye.
Although I know that you care, won't you write and declare that though on the loose, you are still on the square?
I'll be lonely, but send that rainbow to me, then my shadows will fly. Though I'll be gone for a while, I know that I'll be smiling with my baby.
was here for dinner.
Oh, Phil. Phil, will you take care of Julius's aunt?
Like how, honey?
Like let her in.
Oh, yes.
Come on, Elliot. We got to let the brewmaster in.
Where till I get a chair and a whip?
Elliot, she ain't going to be that bad.
She's Julius's aunt, ain't she?
So what? Now, Elliot, will you please put on the whip?
But, Curly...
The chair will be enough.
Well, okay, if you say so.
Besides, there's going to be two of us and only one of her.
How do you know?
I'm guessing. Now, go ahead, open the door.
Hey, Curly...
Open the door, Elliot.
Curly, my whole life is flashing before my eyes.
Well, when you get to the part to where your arm is long enough, open the door.
But, Curly...
Move over, will you? I'll open the door myself.
Okay. Go ahead, Curly. I'm ready to meet my fate.
Good evening. I'm... Yay!
Hello, boys. I'm Julius's aunt. You can close the door now. I'm in.
Close the door, Curly. She might get out.
Well, it's sure a nice night for closing them doors.
It's a beautiful night.
Gorgeous.
What's your friend doing with a chair?
He always carries a chair around like that.
Would you like to sit down, Julius and Dad?
You can call me Clara.
Clara. Gee, that's a beautiful name. Clara. I used to know a Clara. Only she was a cigar. Have a rapper like yours.
It's quite a card, ain't he, Claire? Hey, by the way, where's Julius? Didn't he come?
Oh, yes. He's parking the car.
He's what?
Parking the truck.
Quite a bit of life, you know. I think this is the last time we're going to be on, so we might as well just carry this on. Well, let me see. Where were we, old buddy? I know where I was, but where were you? Parking the truck, huh? Well, we'd better go out and see him, huh, Elliot?
Where do I want to see that little creep for?
Will you stop? Oh, pay no attention to him, Clara. Look, honey, why don't you go into the living room and make yourself comfortable, and me and Elliot have got some business with Julius, huh? Come on, lover.
Okay, if you say so.
And don't go too far, boys. I'll be waiting for you.
We'll be back in a minute.
Bye, Clara.
Hey, Curly. Huh? I can't believe it. Oh, money and a brewery and what a built.
What about Julius?
I like Clara's built better.
Oh, Elliot, listen to me. Don't you realize now if we don't keep Julius out of here, he's liable to queer the whole deal?
He wouldn't.
Why wouldn't he?
I guess he would. What do we do, Curly?
Don't worry about him. I got him all fixed.
Yeah?
Come on.
Right.
Hiya, fellas. I was just... Hey, wait a minute. What you doing with me? Put me down, will you, fellas? Mr. Harris, he's just hurting me little arms. He's just breaking me poor little wrists. He says, stop it, will you? You want us to call the cops? Fellas, cut it out. You're squeezing me little head.
You know, I didn't think he'd fit in the mailbox.
Oh, sure. You put him in sideways.
Hey. You better come on now. Now we got the business. Let's get going.
Where?
Are you kidding?
No.
Where?
Where?
Clara. The body. Your little bride. She's sitting in the living room.
Hey, Curly, what if she says no?
She can't say no. Alice would kill me.
But Curly...
Hold it, Rob. Now, come on. Just let me do the talking. Just lay there.
Yeah.
Hey, Clara. How's every little thing?
You have a charming place, Mr. Harris. Just charming.
Place? You call this a place? This ain't nothing. You ought to see Elliot's dive at the dump. I mean, where Elliot lives. Right, Elliot?
Right.
He's got a place that's really a place, Clara. Hot and cold running doorknobs, wall-to-wall floors, and on a clear day, Catalina can see him. Right?
Right, Clara.
Yes, Elliot.
What's next?
Wait on
Elliot, come over here a minute, will you? I want to talk to you. Excuse us just a minute, will you, Clara?
Were you craving something? What do you want to do, queer the whole deal?
Why? What did I do?
You can't jump at these things. You got to lead up to them, kind of gradual.
That's just what I did.
Well, go slower. Talk about something else first.
Okay.
Clara?
Yes, Elliot.
What do you think of the Brooklyn Dodgers?
Oh, I think they're wonderful.
What's next?
Elliot!
Still too fast?
Certainly it's too fast. You know something, Clara?
What's the matter with you guys? You crazy or something?
Hey, wait a minute. Didn't you ever hear of doors?
Who needs doors? They stuck me in a mailbox and now I gotta use doors yet.
Wait a minute, look.
You want to know how I got out?
No, I don't want to know how you got out.
Well, I'm going to tell you how I got out. No stamps.
Clara, will you excuse us for just a minute, please?
Wait, tell me, Father, what you've done. Just wait. You know what I'm going to tell me, Father? He'll have you thrown in jail for the rest of your life. That's what I'm going to tell me, Father.
Come on, Elliot. Let's get him out of here. Come
what
on.
Do you want to do? Stuff me innocent little body in a trunk? You axe murder as yet.
Alice, Elliot, take care of him, will you?
You fiends and fiends clubbing you. You's a rude day you's ever laid eyes on me. That's what you's a rude.
I got him, Curly.
You's a rude day you ever laid a bimbo.
Okay, take your hand off his mouth, Elliot.
Okay.
I'll be a lily white body, and when I tell a DA what you do...
Let him talk, Elliot.
You mean all night?
He'll run down.
Okay.
He'll have you electrocuted for life.
Are you finished?
Sure he is. Now I'm finished.
Look, Julius, you got us all wrong. We want to be your friends.
Yeah, like a cat wants to be friends with a mouse.
Keep still, you little rat.
Elliot, please.
Oh, sure. He wants to be my friend. Listen to him.
Look, he wants to be more than a friend to you, kid. He wants to be your uncle.
He wants to be my uncle? Him?
What's the matter with that?
He's in love, Julius. He worships the very hops your aunt walks on. And he'll make her a good husband, wouldn't you, Elliot?
I would devote my entire allowance to making her happy.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe I was wrong.
There you are, Elliot. Julius is a good kid at heart.
Yeah, maybe we can make a deal. How about 50-50?
50-50?
Julius, do you mean to say you'd take 50% of your Uncle Elliot's allowance? You'd stoop to a low, miserable, conniving trick like that?
Would you?
You know, when you get right down to it, Elliot, it ain't a bad deal.
Well, okay, Curly, if you say so.
Now, how's about a small retainer? You know, a little token of good faith that you're going to jip me in.
This kid's got no soul.
Well, do I get it or do I go in and squeal to me Aunt Clara like the dirty little rat that I am?
Julius, as you grow older, you'll learn that the love of money is the root of all evil. We'll be relatives, you and I, bound by the blessed ties of matrimony. Would you sully that kinship by this low display of avarice, this mean attempt at extortion?
I'll take your gold elf's tooth and your fountain pen.
Julius, how can you be so mean?
I take shots.
Give him the elf's tooth, Elliot.
But it was my mother.
She don't need it. Let her gum her away.
Okay. Here, you little crumb. Wear it in bad health.
What do you know? I'm an elf.
Okay, Elliot, get going. Clara's waiting.
Yeah, I'm going to sweep her off her feet. I'll make that John Alden character look like a bum.
Good luck. Oh, Harris, you're a doll. A living doll.
What's so funny, Mr. Harris?
Hey, Julius, you got to hand it to me. I put it over like a dream. Elliot's going to get married, and then I can mooch my breakfast in his house. Oh, Harris, you're a genius. A living genius.
Hey, Mr. Harris, you know how Aunt Claire is me aunt? She's married to me father's brother. What does that make you?
Oh, Harris, you're a dead duck.
Oh. Alice and Phil will be back in just a moment. Your mealtime problem, like that of most homemakers, is to come up with new menus for your family, to take the humdrum routine out of three meals every day. An RC8 Estate gas or electric range will solve your problem. See how the new RCA Estate coaxes exciting new flavors from familiar foods with new modern cooking methods. Before you buy, see all the years ahead features of the RCA Estate range. It grills, bakes, barbecues, and does it all at the same time. Look up your RCA Estate dealer in the yellow pages of your phone book. Let him show you these new RCA Estate ranges, gas or electric.
This is Phil again. It's sure nice being back with you folks again. And, oh, by the way, here's a little dope on our new time. From now on, Fridays is the H&H night on NBC with our show following that great guy, Bob Hope. So tell everybody you meet that from now on, where there's Hope, there's Harris on Friday nights. Honey, say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Stop padding your part. Good night, everybody.
Included in this program transcribed was Jacqueline Fontaine. The part of Julius was played by Walter Tetley. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.